would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Take Time for Jesus coming to you by the ways of you receiving us. And we just thank God for those that have wrote to us and encouraged us by the words that they have spoken about. And we just praise God for you and thank God that you would still have a mind to serve Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today we want to speak to you about faith. A lot of people have came to me in the last periods of the times and years past and asked me to pray that God would give them more faith. My friend, all we need is a grain of mustard seed faith that would move the mountain, not a mountain of faith to move the mustard seed, but we need to exercise that faith. The grain of mustard seed, as the scripture speaks of to us, that if it's planted, it grows to be there a tree big enough for the fowls of the air to light in it. But my friend, if it just remains a seed, it will not grow, but it has to be planted. You have to exercise your faith in order for it to grow. And as you believe, and in faith, believing on the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, that you will have that mustard grain faith, because I believe the scripture teaches us that to every man that is born into the world, that there is a measure of faith dealt unto him. And I believe that it's at least a mustard grain faith. As I said, to exercise it, you got to believe in it. You got to use it. And with works and faith bound together, it will grow into that place that we're in, that it would be useful to you and to others, that God may bless. We just thank God for the opportunity to come into your homes by whichever way that you're receiving us, wherever you may be. We pray God's blessings will be upon you and your faith will be increased, that God will help you to carry on, for the days of now we live are perilous times, and we need to exercise our faith to believe that God is able to take care of us in all kinds of situations, and He will see us through. Even though we may give our life for a testimony to Him, as He gave His life that we could have life, be not afraid, my friend, but believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God. So my wife's got something other here for us, and we read and just pay attention. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. So our thought is to give God praise and honor, and to give to you what He has given to us, that you and I may grow in the grace of God, that we too will one day be in the kingdom of God together and worship Him and have all the promises fulfilled that He has promised us. May God bless you. Here's my wife.
Well, I do praise the Lord again that I can lift up the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed of that name, no matter where I go. I try to be a witness to people. Sometimes you can witness to them or talk to them about the Lord, but other times people will turn and rend you. In other words, they'll shun you. But don't ever be ashamed of the name of Jesus. If they turn and don't want to hear it, well, pray for them, that one day somebody will be able to open up their understanding and have them repent and turn away from their wicked ways and serve the Lord. But I want to share with you today from one of our Sunday school books many, many moons ago. And it says, our great apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ, has built himself a house, the church. Those who hear God's word and obey it become a part of that church, the people of God. God has given many promises to His people. If we will only believe Him, His precious and sure promises can be ours. But if we are to partake of them, we must remain faithful to Him and to His word. Israel serves as a constant reminder and example of those who refuse to obey God's law. Because they hardened their heart against His will and words to them, they died in the wilderness, not being allowed to enter into the promised land that God prepared for them. Of all the people in the generation who came out of Egypt, only the faithful, Joshua and Caleb, enjoyed the full promises of God. Unfaithful, unbelief, and hardness of heart robbed the others of God's promised blessings. The scriptures admonish us not to allow the same unbelief and hardness of heart to happen to us. Unbelief will rob us of wonderful promises of God. Ultimately, unbelief will keep a person from entering into that final state of heavenly rest in the world to come. The scriptures make it clear that in the end times, many will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You can read that 1 Timothy 4:1. What an evident reason for Christians to spend much time studying and memorizing the scriptures and in prayer. These are the only things that will keep us strong in the faith. If we will only be faithful to God, who is faithful to us in everything, we will one day live eternally with Him in heaven. Through the redemptive plan of salvation, we are partakers of Jesus Christ. He has given us the Holy Ghost and made us overcomers through His blood. What Christ has done for us should make our faith strong and our confidence in Him secure. But if we entertain sin, it will deceive us and lead us away from the Lord. And as I say every broadcast, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Repent. Today is your day. Tomorrow may not be yours to behold. We don't ask you to repeat after us the sinner's prayer, because the only sinner's prayer that you can say is when you come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and ask Him to forgive your sins. And then if you will turn away from what your sins are and start walking on that straight and narrow way. Oftentimes we stumble, but we can always ask Jesus to forgive us. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. We know that by the reading of the word, our faith would be increased if we would believe what it says. There are many people today in the world that has their own way of doing things, and it may be pleasing to God, and then on the other hand, it may not be. We need to understand that the wicked is going to disturb and belittle those that are righteous. For the Bible teaches us that them that will live godly will be persecuted. My friend, we not to shun the word of God. We're not to back away from the promises that God has gave to us, that He said that He would be with us and go with us even unto the end of the world. Never leave us nor forsake us. If we believe in Him and have faith in that which He done there at Calvary for us, giving His life and shedding His blood for the remission of our sins, if we will believe in Him and take it for granted that He will reward them that faithfully serve Him, and that He will give us that gift of eternal life that whereby that He Himself can only give. There's no man that walketh upon the earth today that can forgive your sins except Jesus Christ. Now, He came into this world to die on Calvary's cross that you and I may obtain salvation. We were a people as Gentiles, lost without any hope and under the curse of death until Jesus came and showed His love to the world through His only begotten Jesus the Christ, on the cross where He stretched out His arms and showed the world that He loved the world, and He died, excuse me, that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Now you may think, well, what is an abundant life? Well, there's different places that people go to, and they think that an abundant life is have all the riches of the world and these things and one thing or another. But I believe that the abundant of life is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have what you would like to have in this world, but the thing of it is that God said that if we would believe in Him, that he said that he would be, that he would supply our needs. My friend, our needs is somewhat different from wants. A lot of people want a lot of things, but is that what they need? Maybe in some cases, but maybe a hindrance to them in others. Some people likes a big bank account where they can write checks for hundreds and thousands of dollars and therefore then buy what they want of the material things of this world. But the material things of this world, my friend, is not what God intended for you to have. He said he would, you would prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. And thy soul is not going to prosper except by the reading and believing of the word of God and hearing it and having faith in God in the finished works of Calvary. Through Jesus Christ came salvation. Through his blood was the remission of yours and my sins. We can't get there by no other man. We got to come by the way that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We got to believe. We got to have faith. And we got to put faith and works together. You can't have one without the other. If you got one and don't have the other, it's no good to you. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in that people goes about and they say, I do this job and this way and that way, and they don't add any faith into it. It's going to, one day, it's going to come back and maybe be destitute to them instead of being growed into what they think it would be. My faith in God is just like a mustard grain faith. But when we plant it, we exercise it, and it grows to where it can be move a mountain, my friend. It comes to the place to wherein you can pray one for another, anointing them with the oil, and the oil of gladness with God through prayer and faith, and the works that you go forth. He said, if it be any sick amongst you, let them call for the elders of the church. There's very little of that being done in the church world today, simply because that the faith is kind of gone out the window, you might say. The works is some people that they feel like ashamed. They don't want to call for the elders of the church. They don't want to, the elders of the church don't want to anoint them with the oil and pray the prayer of faith as it would be, as the scripture says, and that them that have sickness would be healed, and even if they have committed any sins, it be forgiven unto them. My friend, it's very little of that going on in the world today, simply because of unbelief. I believe that God is still in control, that he will do what he says he does. But I'm not the pastor of a church. I'm not the one that can say this or say that, and oftentimes just sit there and listen. But I believe that the word of God is strong. It's a strong tower. Jesus said that Christ is a strong tower that where the righteous can run into and say. And if we believe on the name of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, and serve him with out of a gladness of our heart, willingly to give to him praise and honor, lifting up that name of Jesus, wherever we might be, and stand for that, let the fruits of the Spirit shine through, but our faith would come forth there, and others would see Christ in us, and they too would understand and know that there's something different about that person, something other that I want to check upon and see what it is that's so much different from that in him or her than it is in I, and see why it is that they feel and believe like they do. When they go to checking up and finding out, as I've had people to ask me, why do you not do the things you used to do? And I told them, Jesus made a difference. My friend, he will make a difference in our life if we will believe in him, trust him, and have faith in what he has given us through his word of his promise that he would go with us even unto the end of the world. He wouldn't leave us nor forsake us like some people. They said, I'll be your friend for life. And then a few days later, they don't want to have no communication with you whatsoever, simply because that your lifestyle may be different from theirs. and they may have a lifestyle of the world and all the love of the world and the things thereof the world, and you may have come out from amongst the world and been separated because the grace of God has come into your life and the love of Jesus has taken you away from all these things. And my friend, when they go to see the fruits of the Spirit and see that you don't dabble and dibble around in the things of the world and sin and one thing or another, going to the bars and one all these here girly shows and one thing or another, when they see you come out from among it and be separated from it, they think that you've got something of the strange with you. Well, in a way it is. And the things that they do, it and the things that you do is become a stranger to them because they want the world and they love the world and to do the things of the world. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in that people has got to realize that the scripture said to come you out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. My friend, you can't play patsy with the devil in one hand and hold on to Jesus with the other. You're going to serve one and hate the other or diverse things there. We got to understand that God is sovereign. He has no dealings with his sins, and he rebukes sin, and he came into this world to die that you could be from sin and not dibble-dabbling around in the things of the world. In the world, there's many things that it entice you to do, many things that displease God. But through faith, if we will believe in him that has came and died for us and deliver us from the bonds of sin and bring us into the righteousness of God, if we will believe and have faith in him, he will bring us to the place that we're in that we can put aside all of these old sinful, lustful things that the flesh desires to have, and they will commit themselves unto God through the grace of God by faith, believing and working into the place that we're in that God would bring forth deliverance from the things of the world. My friend, this old world is going to teeter-totter around on the edge of destruction and the things thereof. The material things of this world is going to pass away with a loud racket and a favorite heat. So Peter writes to us and said, love not the world or the things therein, but people are loving the things of the world. They lust after it, just like it is in the things of Black Friday, they call it. People will go stand in line and wait for all night and all day there to be the first one in the door. And they get in there and they start fussing and fighting about something other that one wanted, the other one got to first, and they come up and, oh man, it gets to be a mess. But if you had the love of God in you, and if one man got it, and if the love of God was in that other person, he would allow him to go ahead. He would find something else that would be just as valuable as another. But no, they want to fuss and fight. And that's of the world, my friend. The devil gets into the mix, and it causes hard feelings. And then most likely it'll cause a big fight, and somebody will get hurt or even killed over something that is immaterial. It has no value to it except to the flesh. My friend, my value to God is more valuable than anything in this world. And you should have the same opportunity to serve God as we have in today. In some places, they don't have that opportunity. But here in the United States and some of the other places, we have the opportunity still that we can serve God in the beauty of holiness and worship him in spirit and in truth and give praise and honor to him. I know that recent days gone by that people have went into the synagogues in different places and killed people in the place of worship and everything. But this is a part of the devil's adversary that he brings onto thee, persecution of those that would live godly. My friend, if you die for the cause of Christ, you ain't died. You just transferred from here to life eternally. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in. We're going to have to believe upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, and have faith in him working towards that day that when he comes, that we can have the offer of a sacrifice of praise unto him from the calves of our lips and be glad in that day that when he comes, that we can be ushered into the kingdom of God by the grace of God through that precious blood of Jesus. Faith in him and belief, and we have hope. My friend, if you have hope in only things in this world, you're most miserable according to the word of God. You may not think so, but if you've got one thing, it's always something that you're looking for something else. You want more. You want this. You want that. That's the lust of the flesh, my friend. And until you've been born again of the water and of the spirit, and the lust of the devil is in you for the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and therefore these things is going to require you more and more of the things of the world. But when you go to begin to worship God in spirit and truth, your soul is going to hunger for him. And he draw you nigh to him. He said, if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. Your faith will increase as you worship God in spirit and in truth, and you will be pleasing unto him. That's the only way your faith is going to increase. A mustard seed of faith, if it ain't put into the ground, and that mustard seed, if it's not cultivated and placed there and watered and nourished, it's going to stay just a grain of mustard seed that some people put in a little tube or something other that, and all. My friend, it comes to the time we need to plant that mustard seed faith into the business of God and worship him in spirit and truth and watch it grow to the place that we're in, that we can resist the enemy, resist the things of this world, live a godly life before God, and the world may see Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's my hope. In him I have hope of that new day, of that resurrection that he said that we could have. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that which remain to be alive will be changed from mortal to immortality. My friend, I'm looking forward to that day, and I hope you are. But the only way we can enjoy that day of the Lord's return is that we have faith in him. Exercise that faith by believing and looking unto him, doing the work that he would have us to do. For as I said, works without faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. So we got to come together. We got to come and do what he would have us to do. Many people today is out there saying, well, I don't know what to do. Well, if you read your Bible, it'll tell you. We got to worship God in spirit and in truth. We got to draw nigh to him that he will draw nigh to us. We got to put him first in our life before mama, dad, brothers, sisters, children, and all. It don't mean you got to literally hate them and throw them out to the dogs, you might say, but you got to put Christ first in your life. You got to believe on the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seeking him first, the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be added unto us. It's the things of the world that people lust after. If they would lust after the kingdom of God as they do the things of the world, the riches of this world, gold and silver, the precious things of that much, oh, it would be a much different world today. But because of sin, because of Adam sold our birthright out to the devil, that there in the garden when he disobeyed that one commandment, do not touch or eat or look at it, rather, in other words, of the tree of good and evil. But he did. Eve took of it and gave to him, and he partook of it. My friend, by doing this, he sold the world out to the devil. When Jesus was come out of the fasting there for 40 days and nights in the wilderness there, the devil came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he said, thou shalt not have any gods before us. And all these things the devil brought forth there to show him the kingdoms of the world and these things. And he told him, said, that we must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. the devil showed him all the riches of the world, the kingdoms and all. He didn't tell him it wasn't his to give, but he said, thou shalt not have no other gods before him, because the devil said he'd give it to him if he'd got bowed down and worship him. And he left him. My friend, if you quote the scriptures and believe upon the only begotten of God and allow the devil and tell him where you stand with God in faith and believing, and use the word of God as a tool against him and bring it forth and everything, oh, he'll flee from you. But you got to realize that every time that the door opened into the place of worship, the devil's going to come also. He's got his cohorts around and about, and all of he comes in there, and he'll cause disturbance if he can. I know that it has happened several times, but my God is able to sustain and help us to be overcomers. We got to believe and put our faith to work, believing upon him, rebuke the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus, praying one for another, seeking after the kingdom of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, praising God and worshiping him and him in spirit and truth. Some of the songs that they sang today, I got a mansion in glory, gold and silver line. My friend, Jesus said he would go and prepare a place for it. John gave a description of what would come, that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as adorned for a bride for her groom. As he's coming down, it's a city built four square where the light is never dim, and the day is there forth, and where God would be in the presence of his people. And I believe that place is about ready to come, and the things of gold and silver lined things is just a song that the people, it sounds good. But my friend, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe everything you hear, every wind of doctrine that comes down the road. There's been many of people that's come into churches and saying, I'm this and I'm a that. But they, when it comes down to the bare truth of the matter, he wasn't what he was supposed to be or what he said he was. He turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. I've seen it happen, my friend, and it's still happening today. But if you put your faith in Jesus and the nine gifts of the Spirit that God said that we could have in this day, that Paul wrote about in Corinthians there, and the nine gifts of the Spirit, he said that we could do these things by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God operates in you, in me, or in others that would believe and do the work that God would have them to do. They could rebuke the devil and he'd flee from them. They could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. They could pray one for another and they would be healed and the needs would be met. But my friend, we've come to the place to wherein we are lukewarm, like the church of the Laodicean, and they won't even anymore. When they have the communion, they got a little wafer. There used to be unleavened bread that would be broke and give to them with the juice of the vine. But now, and then when they used to, when I was a boy, the pastor would gird himself with a towel and wash the men's feet, and the women would go to a separate place and they would wash one another's feet. My friend, they've gotten so, pride has gotten so much into their lives today that they are too proud to wash a brother's feet. I want you to understand that these things are part of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. If Jesus himself, after they had ate the supper there, he said he took a towel and girded himself and he washed the apostles' feet. Peter said, no, not my feet. But he said, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. And he said, not my feet only, but my hands. And in other words, he wanted to bathe there, just bathe him all over. My friend, we've got to be willing for the Spirit of God to wash us clean from all of the sins of this world and all the desires of the flesh, that we might be pleasing unto God, that we serve him in the beauty of holiness, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, giving honor and glory unto him, because that's where it belongs. A lot of people honor this and honor that, and I know that some of the men and women that died in these wars to preserve our freedom that we've got, they need to be honored into some extent, but it was because that God had brought them forth. Somewhere or another down the line, they knew that there was something other that had to be done that would preserve our life here, that we could have a life to worship God in spirit and in truth. God don't go off halfway. He goes all the way, my friend. He has preserved everything and brought forth victory unto us through the lives that he gave, plus the apostles, plus others that have died, that you could have the life that you have today. Many today thinks that that's just an ordinary thing. That's what they're paid to do. But my friend, it's just people that have come to know that there is something other more to it than this. That's what they get paid to do. Oh, my friend, there's a lot of them has died on the battlefield to let you and I have peace, that we could have the opportunity to serve a true and the living God. But you won't. You're not doing what he wants you to do. You're not doing what his life was spent to do, by shunning your fellow man, by doing things that opposite from the word of God. We don't hear the word of God. Some people won't even go to the place of worship and hear the word of God, but yet they will tell you that they're all right. They don't need this and they don't need that because they have everything. Remember the scripture said when the young ruler come up, and he had all this wealth and everything, and he come and asked him asked the Lord what he would do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord told him, he said, that he would sell what he had and give to the poor. Well, he went off sorrowful. And my friend, another one there come up, and he had much goods, and he said, I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new ones, and I'll say to my soul, take it easy, you got enough to last you for a long time. That his soul was required of him that night. So who gets as much goods that he had laid up? Someone else gets them. My friend, his labor was in vain because he labored without faith in God, and therefore he's lost everything. His life and the whole thing went to somebody else that did nothing, except maybe they believed in God, and God blessed them with that man's unbelief, with him, what he had accumulated. My friend, it's possible that that could be. But I want you to know that God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, but we need him desperately. It's like the wind and the air. You can't see it, but you need it. But without it, you won't breathe. Without the Spirit of God, you have no life. You may live, but your life is destitute. Your life is doomed for sinful, hell pitched, and therefore for the devil's domains. Without God, we are all lost. We were all lost without any hope under the curse of death until Jesus came into this world and died on Calvary's cross. And he invited us all, that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. It's by faith and belief and trust we walk in the ways that he would have us to walk, believing in him, calling upon the name of the Lord, putting our works and faith together, that we may be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may come to the place that we're in, that when we stand before him, he say, welcome in. My friend, it's come to the time we need to have faith in God. The time is coming upon us that things are going to wax worse in the world. They're going about all this year trouble they're having about that the climate change and the heat and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says that this time will come when the sun will get so hot that it will scorch man. So why would we have to worry about the icebergs melting up in the North Pole and these things, or the climate change, when God's word has done already told us these things is going to be, and it's going to be as God has said it to be, without fail. My friend, it's only you and I can only make the difference. When we repent and these things come upon the world, then God said he would protect us. He will protect us if we have faith in him, believing upon him, doing what he would have us to do, trusting in him that he would give us that protection that we need in the days that we now live. But many people today said because they can't see God, they don't believe in him. I can't see the wind except I see the trees when the wind blows through it, but I don't see God, but I believe he's there. Mm-hmm. I believe in my heart that he's there. I've done seen too many times that he stretched out his hand and touched others and blessed and undertake even to myself. And he said, touched others. I've seen too many things that he has done by faith and believing upon him and doing the work that he would have us to do. I've seen too much for the devil to make me doubt. I've seen him moved by his spirit. Didn't see him, but I seen the afterwards. Faith is a subject of things hoped for, but the evidence not yet seen. But I have hoped for this, and I've seen the evidence of it, and I know he's real. He's real just as sure as you and I are real in the flesh. He is real in the spirit, and we that worship him in spirit and in truth can obtain that blessing that he has in store for us. That when we obtain a good report, that one day when he appears, whether we are asleep in the dust of the earth or remain to be alive, we're going to be called up to meet him. That is the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. Not these denominations of this and that and one thing or another that they go so strongly about, that you, I believe in this and I believe in that. I believe in Jesus Christ. And he is the only one that died for me, not the denomination. When all the council of the churches years ago, this is where all this foolishness come out of. They left their first love when they left the apostle teachings and doctrines, and they went into their own things. I won't have this, and I won't have that. We want this. And so they got little groups together that believed the same old rot gut stuff, and they formed an organization, they call it, or a denomination, and that's what they call themselves. I'm Jesus' name from the head to the toe. I believe in God is come into this world, and a man in the Christ Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. I don't think the cross around my neck is going to help me, but the man that dwells in you that hung on the cross, shed his blood and give his life. He's the one that I look to. Not to the wooden cross. It was an instrument of torment and punishment that the Romans had, that they crucified men on it. But that man Jesus there, he is the one that died. His blood is the one that cleanses us from our unrighteousness. He is the one we need to look to. And not carrying that cross around your neck on a gold chain and a gold cross, and you call yourself bearing the cross. Bearing the cross is the things of this world. You separate yourself from it. Bearing the persecution and the things that the other people that don't know God would place upon you and persecute you because of the lifestyle you live, pleasing unto God. That's the cross you need to bear, my friend. Oh, my friend, listen. That God is going to reward them that are faithfully and them that faithfully serve him and serve him in the beauty of holiness. Been born again of the water and of the spirit. Come unto him and worship at him and give him praise and honor. He is the only one. The Pope or nobody else, I or no one else can forgive you of the sins of the flesh. If you do something other to me, I can forgive you for that. And then that's all I can do. But I cannot forgive you of your sins that you were born into when you come into this world. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we were under the curse of death until Jesus came and died for our sins. And that's the only hope we have in Christ Jesus, the one who hung on the cross. Our hope needs to be in him. He was died for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. He was took from the cross and put in a barred tomb there of a rich man, hewed into stone there, and he was put in there, laid there, and they put him there, and on the third day he rose. That stone that was rolled there over the tomb, the angel of the Lord moved it back. And the earthquake happened there when he came, and the dead in the Christ there that was in the faith, many of them were seen of the saints walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Some of these people want to say that that was the first resurrection. My friend, Jesus resurrected several from the dead, and there was nothing. But the first resurrection of the dead in Christ shall rise, and that's what Revelation speaks about. When they raise, that's the first resurrection to never die again. I don't know what happened to those that were seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say. I assume that they went to the altar there, underneath the altar there, that John seen the souls of them that had died for the cause of Christ under the altar there in heaven. And it was cried out, "How long, holy and true, will thou not revenge our blood upon them on the earth?" And he was given a white robe and told to wait a little while, a little season, until our fellow soldiers. My friend, it's going to be some more dying for the cause of Christ. It's going to come into this world. There's going to come a battle such as never been upon the face of the earth since man was here, or never shall be. But the faith in God, putting our works and our faith together to believe in Him, repenting of our sins, coming unto Him, is the only way that we're going to be able to escape the things that's to come upon this land. You may die for the cause of Christ, but you just gain life eternally. Oh, you won't be dead. Paul made mention about, "I die daily." And that means to repent, my friend. Serve God on a daily basis. Not serve Him today and do whatever you want to do tomorrow. That's not going to work. It's got to be day by day, hour by hour. As long as there's breath in our body to breathe that God has gave us, we got to serve Him in the beauty of holiness. We got to give Him praise and honor right on up until the time that our last breath is drawn and we depart from this world. My friend, it's come to the place that we're in. We're going to have to, as old Brother McGee used to say, where the rubber hits the road, we need to be faithful to God. We need to look to Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. You don't have God in your life. What have you got? You got the things of the world, and the world will perish, and the things thereof. They will go away with a fervent heat. All the riches of this world will melt, and they become nothing. The rich man will go and cry into the rocks of the mountain, throw their wealth into the holes of the bat, cry to the jagged rocks and everything to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him that sits on the throne. But them that are dead in Christ shall raise from corruption to incorruption, because their faith in Him and their works that they've done while they were yet breath in their body, they will rise first, and they will meet the Lord in the air. Them that which remain to be alive, and they are serving God and faithfully and doing what He would have them to do. They may be alive and to be walking down the street and wrecked. They've changed from mortal to immortality. Meet the Lord in the air. My friend, it's come a time you got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ if you expect to get out of this world alive. Otherwise, you're going to die and find yourself in the domains of hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for mankind, but there's so many of them that desires to go that hell has enlarged itself because they lust of the things of the world and serving the things of the world. The God of this world is their God. They worship Him in ways that they think maybe they're not, but they are when they do the things that He asked them to do. My friend, it's come to the time we're going to have to repent. Come back to the Lord. Come to Him with open heart and our mind upon Him. Serve Him in the beauty of holiness. The church of the late Odyssey has got to be so lukewarm. No wonder that people are not having revivals. No wonder that people are being sick and unhealed. Because of the church has got to the place to where it's so lukewarm until it can't do anything. Oh, my friend, they go through a form and a fashion. They persecute them that would do what the Lord would have them to do and saying they're some kind of a nut or something or other, and they think they're high and mighty. Oh, my friend, I believe today that God is going to serve the ones that serve Him. He's going to be with them, and He's going to be with them in a mighty force in the days to come. When that time comes that God's going to reach out to His people, them that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and their faith is in Him, waiting upon the promise, waiting upon the Lord God Almighty to come forth out of the bosom of the Father, and He's going to come and receive His own unto Himself, that wherein that He is, that we may be there also. My friend, I believe that things are fastly coming to an end. We're looking into the things that wherein people are making plans for their vacation in 2019. They're planning on that safari or whatever you want to call it, a ship cruise or one thing or another, and they're planning it on their vacation, on their honeymoon, or on their wedding, or whatever it is, on their birthday and all. My friend, I'm hoping to be in that place we're in, that when Jesus comes, that I'll make that journey to the meet him in the clouds and there forever be with the Lord. I hope you are too. I hope that you will put aside all the things of this world and the lust thereof, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking all of these things and cleaving unto the Lord. Pant after him like a deer after water. Seek after him with your whole heart. Find him that he will be that he said he would be. Be peace and joy forevermore. My friend, it only comes from God. But he told the world, he said, you said, I came to bring peace on the earth. He said, I brought a sword. Hallelujah. We need to understand that God came into this world, and because of his teaching, he brought forth division amongst many people, and that division into denominations that they go instead of believing what the apostle teachings and doctrine said. And going by that, they go by their own doctrine and everything. And they said, we don't need this and we don't need that. But they go by what they want instead of what God told them they could have. God said he would be with them, live in them, be with them, and be a God to them and to save them from their sins. Many say they got the Holy Spirit, but there is no evidence of it there. Many say that they've got the Holy Ghost. There's no evidence of it there. As I said a little bit ago, that the devil comes to the place of worship, and I've seen him jump up and scream and holler in some of these people and claim that it was the Holy Ghost. It was not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost operates with peace and contrility there, when decently and in order. God has got everything put in order, and the Spirit of God moves in that field of order and comfort and bringing forth with wisdom and knowledge. It doesn't jump up and scream and kick over the chairs and holler and carry on and some other that nobody knows what's going on. But I praise God and thank you that one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Paul spoke about to the Corinthians there is the gift of the discernment of the Spirit. I've seen it happen, my friend, and it's not God, but the pastor would allow it to go on, and they go on. Some of them done gone on now. They reap their reward. I hope that God will be merciful to them, but nevertheless, they're going to reap what they sowed, and so is you and I. We're going to reap what we sowed in this life. If we sow to the things of the world, we're going to reap the whirlwind. But if we sow into the righteousness of God through faith and believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we will reap the inheritance of the kingdom of God. We'll be the one that will have that opportunity to be in the presence of God. And there the Bible says that we shall see him, for we shall know him, or we shall see him as he is. We come out of the grave, my friend. I believe we're going to have the same celestial body that Jesus had when he come out of the tomb. When we're changed from mortal to immortality, I believe that we'll have the same body, that type of body that Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. I believe that God would be able to have us, that what we can have, that we can be in the presence of God, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We'll have that glorified body, because this old flesh can't stand in the presence of God. It would burn up, dissolve away. As Moses asked God, said, let me see you to the face. He said, you can't see me and live. But I put him in a crack in the rock, covered him with his hand, and he seen the hind part of the Lord God of glory. And he lit up like a luminal sign there, and he had to put a veil over his face. The children of Israel still got a veil over their face, but not too far down the road. My friend, that veil's going to be lifted, and they're going to see, and they're going to know the prophets of old. Isaiah and the other prophets spoke about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they're going to realize that that old man of sin is not the Messiah. He's not the God of glory. And they're going to reject him. And they're going to flee from him. And he's going to make war with them. And a lot of them is going to die for the cause of Christ, for their belief. and you and I may be in that group, my friend. If we believe in him and if we have the attributes of Christ and the hope of glory within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and the enemy comes around and he finds your faith in God and you don't put your alliance into him and to worship the beast, the devil, in other words, he'll have you killed. My friend, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have faith in God. Put your works and your faith together. Believe, repent, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth. Give him praise and honor and put in your works there to do the work that he had called us to do, to spread the news, to be a witness in this world while we have life in us, that we can stand up for the cause of Christ, giving others the opportunity that the best we can to tell them about the man called Jesus, God in the flesh. As Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, God was manifested. In other words, that God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up into glory. My friend, it was God that came into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I. It wasn't another, but it was God came in the form of man in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died there. He couldn't nail the Spirit God onto a cross, so he prepared himself a body. And when he told that bunch of Pharisees there that the body that he was in, he said, you destroy this tabernacle, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They made a remark. The tabernacle was taken, the temple was taken them 47 years to build. He wasn't speaking about that material. It was made out of the things of the world, the wealth and everything that was there. It was beautiful, no doubt. I never seen it, but I just read about it, and I believe it was beautiful. And they admired it. But Jesus told him, he said, there come a time that there won't be one stone left upon another. And that happened in 70 A.D., but Jesus came along and he told that bunch of Pharisees and them scribes, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. He was speaking about that body that he was dwelling in, and they destroyed it. They put it in a tomb and it came out a glorified body. My friend, he's alive and alive forevermore. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He didn't spill it, but he shed it. He brought forth life to you and I, that only through him that we can have the remission of our sins through that precious blood of Jesus. So don't go off halfway into something of the believing this every wind of doctrine that's came down through the world, through the times, and brought forth and spread all over the world, and believing that this man or that man or somebody else can forgive you the sin. Only one man, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, the creator of all things, can forgive you of your sins. You need to worship him. Come out from among the world and be you therefore separated. And he said, I'll receive you unto myself. Forget about the religion and put your faith and works into the presence of God, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him into your life, drinking of the waters of life freely. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in. As McGee said, the rubber hits the road. You're going to have to repent, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and serve him and him only. No man on earth can forgive you of your sins that you were born into. Only God can do that, my friend. So worship him in spirit and in truth. I hope we said something other that would encourage you and increase your faith that you believe in the only begotten of God, that you will accept him and the sacrifice that he made there at Calvary so long ago for your sins and my sins even before we ever was. He came and died for you as well as he did for all that whosoever would believe on him, he could give them eternal life. But through him only, not through some man that says he's this or says he's that, but through Jesus Christ declared to be the Son of God, and he come into this world, died for our sins, and when he ascended back into the Father. He said, I come out from the Father, and I go back to the Father. He ascended unto the Father, but he's the mediator between you and God. My friend, he the man Jesus Christ, not some religious organization, not some man that calls himself something other, but Jesus Christ is the only mediator between you and I and between God and us. My friend, it's got to be that way. Man can't do it for us because man can't stand in the presence of God in the soul flesh. So the lawyer you go to get whatever you need, you got to go to Jesus Christ to get eternal life. May God bless you and keep you, my friend. Write to us if you will. God, thank God for those that have wrote to us. May God meet your needs and the prayers that you've asked, we've prayed, and that God do the healing, praying for, supplying your need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.